evening. Great to see you all. Let's turn our Bibles to Galatians chapter 2 tonight. Actually, I'm sorry. Let's first turn to 1 Corinthians 15. Then we'll turn to Galatians 2. We're going to read two verses in two different sections of the New Testament tonight. We'll start at 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20. Having spent the last year studying the identity of God, tonight we begin, as I've said before, our new evening series on the identity of the Christian. In other words, who are we as those who love and follow Jesus Christ? In addition, how should our Christian identity affect the way we spend our time, the way we live our lives in this world? These are the types of questions we'll be answering as we make our way through this series. And tonight we're going to start at the very beginning, or the foundation of all of it, and that is our union with Christ. Which, if you've spent much time with me, you'll know that's something that I can get excited about and can be passionate about, and I think is often neglected, but is so pivotal to the Christian life. I will say that, like our study of God's identity, this series will also be topical by nature, meaning we'll typically spend our time in a variety of passages, not just be looking at one passage, such as we're doing in the morning. And also, my prayer is that this series will, while it will contain refreshers and reminders and things that you've known, and hopefully you can be reminded of them, that at the same time it will be eye-opening to you and it will be life-changing for you as you see more and more and know more and more of who you are in Jesus Christ. There is an outline, as usual, in the bulletin if you'd like to use that tonight. And again, for those at home, it's been posted online. So we're going to read two verses here in two different sections of Scripture. We'll start with 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. Sorry, that is not the verse I want, I think, actually. Verse 22, I apologize. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. And then flip over in your Bibles to Galatians. In chapter 2, verse 20, many of you probably have this verse memorized, but Galatians 2, verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And this is the reading of God's word. It affects how you think about God. It determines how you think about yourself. It controls how you live. It guides your response to God's commands. It gives shape to how you respond to your circumstances and to your shortfalls. It gives you strength and stability. It gives you assurance and guidance. It tells you where you belong. It puts powerful weapons into your hands. It provides a healthy confidence to your actions. It makes you long for your real home. It reveals your deeper purpose. It's just a bit of a list of why we need to know our Christian identity. Right? Why should we be committing ourselves to studying who we are as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ? And these are just some of the reasons. And we want to have this study not just so that we have head knowledge and we can rip off some facts about ourselves without practical relevance, but we want to understand this because it is imminently practical. Right? It is so that our lives are changed for the better, so that we see ourselves more and more for who we truly are tonight. And tonight, as I said earlier, we begin with union with Christ because this is where our identity begins. This is the foundation of all of it. If we're going to talk about who we are, we first have to begin with our union with Jesus Christ. It hinges on this. And so what I want you to see tonight as we consider this subject and as we look at a variety of texts on it, but these two texts in particular, is that instead of trying to be someone else, right, which we are all prone to doing, even if we don't realize it, right? But instead of trying to be someone else, we need to embrace the identity that God has given us through our union with Jesus Christ. Because that is our Christian identity, And what I want you to see tonight is because that is our real identity. Our real identity. So if you're looking at the outline, that's the main point of application this evening. Instead of trying to be someone else, embrace the identity you've been given through union with Christ. Let's consider first tonight that your identity is rooted in your union with Christ. Again, Paul says here in 1 Corinthians 15:22, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive." The Core Winter Conference, just a couple of weekends ago, many of the guys played a game of football. And so like most pickup games of football or basketball, whatever the sport might be, we began with two captains. Then the captains started picking their players. And you were either on this captain's team or you were on this captain's team. But if you were in the game, there were no other options. There were no other teams. It was one or the other. And in the same way, Scripture is telling us here that there are only two teams, if you will, in humanity. Right? You're either on Adam's team, Paul says, or you're on Christ's team. There are no other options. It's one or it's the other. And of course, all of us, by nature of being sinners, are naturally on Adam's team. Right? This is why we're sinners. It's because Adam represented us in the Garden of Eden when he fell. Yeah, but the good news is, as believers in Jesus Christ, Christ himself has moved us over to his team. Right? The great captain has taken us off the other team, the bad team, if you will, and has brought us over to him. And so as Paul says here, if we're believers, we're no longer in Adam, though that is where we were, though that is where we deserve to be, but by the grace of God, we have been made in Christ. Right? We've been put on the team of Jesus. And so we now are in Christ. You know, out of all the ways God describes his people in the Bible, what would you say is the most common way? Some people would say Christian, right? Maybe that's how God typically or most usually refers to us in the Bible, is the word Christian. We tend to use the word Christian quite a lot. You look in Scripture, you hardly ever find the word Christian. So that's not it. What would be another word that God would most use to describe his people in the Word of God? Or perhaps you think it's believer. Maybe you think it's disciple or follower. Right? These are all used for sure, but it's none of them. Right? It's this phrase, in Christ. In Christ. That is how the New Testament especially speaks of you as a believer more than any other title it could give you. Now, just in Paul's writings alone, the phrase in Christ or some variation of it is used over 160 times. Think of that, over 160 times. This is how Paul, through the inspiration of the Spirit, describes the believer in Christ. Not only that, the rest of the New Testament, and we won't go into this tonight, but the rest of the New Testament uses that idea of union with Christ to speak of believers as well. It doesn't always use the words in Christ, but it speaks of that idea in a variety of ways. Now, if you're like most people, you read those words in the New Testament, you just kind of read right over it. You hardly even realize that they're there, let alone stop to think what it means. But what it's telling us is that as believers, we are in Christ, meaning we are united to Christ. Or we are connected to Christ. Right? There is a bond. We're not just on his team, but there is a bond between us. It's a bond that is sealed by the Holy Spirit, and it's an unbreakable bond. It's not a physical bond, it's a spiritual bond between the believer and the Lord Jesus Christ. And what I want you to see tonight is that it's this union, this bond that you have with Jesus that defines you as a Christian. This is what defines you. The Puritan Thomas Goodwin, I think, explains it well when he says, "Being in Christ and united to him is the fundamental constitution of a Christian." Right? The fundamental constitution of a Christian. In other words, who are you in the deepest, fullest, realest sense? Right? Who are you truly? What makes you you as a Christian? And the answer is you're united to Jesus. Right? You are in Christ. As a Christian, everything about you is now wrapped up in this reality. Yes, you're still unique. You're still your own unique individual as God has made you, but your union with Jesus now envelops everything, everything about you. Rankin Wilburn, in his book, Union with Christ, some of you students have read this book. It's the book we use in Mit and Wit. He says, if you are in Christ, this is now the defining truth of who you are. Your life, your story, becomes enfolded by another story, another's story. In other words, according to Scripture, this is your identity. Right? As a Christian, this is who you are. You are in Christ. You are united to Him. And so then, everything else that is true about you as a believer flows from that reality. If your union with Christ is at the core of it all, then everything else comes from that. So if you're forgiven, it's because you are in Christ. If you're accepted, it's because you're in Christ. If you're adopted, if you're alive, if you're secure, if you're a priest, if you're an ambassador, if you're a member, hint, these are a lot of the things we're going to be talking about in this series. It's because you are in Christ. Why? Because your identity starts here. It's rooted in your union with Jesus. That's where it all begins. Again, as Goodwin puts it, this is your fundamental constitution. Or as Wilburn puts it, this is the defining truth of who you are. And this is why Paul uses the phrase in Christ to speak of you and me more than any other way. Your identity as a Christian is rooted in your union with Jesus. And as we come to our second point on the outline, this is because being united to Christ, He is your representative. He is your representative. Again, looking here at 1 Corinthians 15:22, Paul says, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive." In other words, these are not just the two teams of humanity, but also we're told here the results of these teams are radically different. If you're on Adam's team, what do you get? Well, Paul says you get death. If you're on Jesus' team, yes, I have that right. If you're on Adam's team, you get death. If you're on Jesus' team, what do you get? He says you get life. And the reason that's the case is because Jesus represented you when He was here on earth. Right. To state it plainly, to be in Christ is to be represented by Christ. That's something to write down. To be in Christ is to be represented by Christ. Meaning, everything Christ did on earth, He did for His people. He did for you. He did on your behalf. He did in your place. His perfect obedience to the law of God. His death to satisfy God's justice on the cross, His resurrection that proved the Father's acceptance of His sacrifice, all of that's done for you and on your behalf. But it wasn't just done for you. Now, what's interesting is that as a result of your union with Christ, it was as if you were there with Him. And this is where I want us to look at Galatians 2:20. How does Paul begin the verse in Galatians 2:20? He says, "I have been crucified with Christ." That's how close the union is that you have with Jesus. Scripture's saying here, when Jesus died on the cross, if you're a believer, it was as if you also died on the cross. Why? Because by virtue of your union with Jesus, you were crucified with Him. That's how close this union is. The same is true for His burial, Scripture says. The same is true for His resurrection. Scripture says you were buried with Jesus. You were raised with Jesus. Why? Because you are united to Jesus. And that's how truly these things happened to you. It was as if you did it yourself. It was as if you were there. Because you're not just united to Jesus as a person, you're also united to everything that Jesus did for you as the Savior. The one goes with the other. One author puts it this way. He says, "Union with Christ teaches us that salvation is not something we get from Jesus. Salvation is Jesus." Now think about that. We only have the benefits of salvation because we're united to the Savior. He doesn't just give us gifts apart from Himself. He is the gift, and everything else comes with Him. Again, because of our union with Him. This is how we're able to be forgiven. This is how we're able to stand before the Holy God. It's not just because Jesus did something for us 2,000 years ago. It's because we're united to Jesus, who did something for us 2,000 years ago. One author illustrates this by comparing it to electricity. Here we are this evening, sitting in the building. It's dark outside, but we can see why. We have lights on. We're using a microphone to broadcast sound. We have a computer and the internet, streaming video online. How are we able to do these things? Well, it's not because there are power lines outside that are running by our building. No, it's because there are power lines outside that are connected to our building. Right, the power lines could be outside all day long. That makes no difference whatsoever to what's going on inside the building. We have to be connected to the electricity if we're going to benefit from it. And it's the same with Jesus. If we aren't united to Him, it doesn't matter what He's done for us. It doesn't. Because like we can't benefit from the power lines running past the building, we can't benefit from Jesus' work without being united to Him. Again, it's our union with Christ that connects us to Christ. By virtue of that, connects us to everything He's done for us, which saves us because He represented us. Now, like any sports team, only one player scores the winning point. It's always how it goes, right? One guy catches the football in the end zone. One guy kicks the field goal. One guy shoots the basket. It's only one guy who does it. But if you're on the player's team, you get to share in the victory, don't you? Right? His victory then becomes your victory because you're on His team. And that's how it is with Jesus and His people. If you're in Him, you get life instead of death, not because of what we've done, but because of what He has done. Because when He obeyed, when He died, when He was raised up from the dead, He was representing us. And again, think about that. What does this mean? This means that if you're united to Christ, you no longer need to justify yourself to the Lord. You no longer need to try to be good enough for God. But instead, as we talked about this morning, you can rest, you can rejoice, you can be content, you can be at peace, you can know that you are accepted, you can know that you are approved by God. Rankin Wilburn again is helpful. He says, "You are completely safe, hidden in Him. He represents you before the Father. He covers you, your sin, your shame, your weakness." So your identity in Christ is rooted in your union with Christ, because being united to Christ, He is your representative, and it's His representative work that brings you pardon, safety, acceptance, and freedom. But there's more, and this brings us to our third point on the outline. And that is, your identity is also rooted in your union with Christ, because being united to Christ, He lives in you by His Spirit. He lives in you by His Spirit. Now look again at Galatians 2:20. "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me." And this is the second aspect of union with Christ. The first aspect is you are in Christ. The second aspect is Christ is in you. Okay? Always keep two sides of the same coin, but always keep those two things in mind. So here in the second aspect, we see that Christ is in His people. Now, we talked a little bit this morning in our sermon on the farewell discourse about how when we get to John chapter 14, Jesus will say to the disciples, "I'm going to leave you. I'm going to go to heaven and prepare a place for you. But I'm not going to leave you as orphans, because I'm going to send another helper to you. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you, and He's going to be with you. He's going to teach you and comfort you," and so forth. And so we know Jesus leaves, the Spirit comes. But what's interesting, as we see in Galatians 2:20, is that Jesus says He's actually the one living inside of His people. So which is it? Have you ever thought about this? Right? Does Jesus then live in a different part? Well, I've got Jesus on this half, and I've got the Holy Spirit on this half. Or I've got Jesus on, you know, some days of the week, and I've got the Holy Spirit on other days of the week. Are they both living in me? But Jesus has a body, and He's in heaven, so how does that work? What are we to make sense of all of this? Well, the answer is, and you likely know this, but the answer is, Jesus lives within us by his Holy Spirit. That's the answer to the question. And if you recall, this is what we learned in our series a couple of years ago when we went through the book of Acts. Right? Jesus is present with his people as he promised, not physically, but spiritually through the Holy Spirit. Right? This is why we read, for instance, in Romans 8, verse 9, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his." And so we don't fully understand how this works, but the Spirit of God, Scripture says, is the Spirit of Christ. And so as the Spirit of God lives within us, so it is true that Christ himself is living within us. Again, as I mentioned earlier, the Spirit is the bond, the glue, if you will, that unites us to Christ. As the presence of Christ within us, he is what holds us fast to Christ. He is that unbreakable bond between us. It's not because I've got the faith or you've got the faith. No, the union is unbreakable because of the glue of the Spirit who is unbreakable. Now, why does this matter? Why does it matter that Christ lives in us by his Spirit? It matters because when Jesus lives within you by his Spirit, you are made drastically different. You are made drastically different. Rankin Wilburn, in his book on the subject, uses superheroes to illustrate this point. And so some of you kids might find this helpful. But compare in your mind Batman with Spider-Man. Okay, Batman, where does Batman get his power from? Largely speaking, Batman gets his power from all of the gadgets he has. It's from all the tools and the cars and all those types of things. That's where Batman gets his power. But Spider-Man, there's something a little bit different about Spider-Man, isn't there? Now, yes, Spider-Man still has some tools. He's got his web shooter and things like that. But Spider-Man, when he got bit by the spider, something actually changed inside of him. Right? When that bite happened, he became someone he wasn't before. He grew and had abilities all of a sudden that he didn't have before. And that's how it is for those united to Christ. We're more like Spider-Man than we are Batman, if that's helpful in any way. Right? Jesus does not just give us new tools and new weapons. No, like Spider-Man, he changes us from within. Because in our union with him, he lives inside us by the Spirit. And again, it's him living inside of us that produces this drastic, drastic change in us. It's because Jesus lives in us by the Spirit that we have new desires and that we have new abilities. Right? It's because of that that we have strength and power. Strength and power that was previously not ours or even available to us, but is ours today. Right? We're being renewed. We're being improved day by day. And one author says it's now a guarantee that we can and we will change. Why? Because the Son of God lives inside of us by his Spirit. In other words, since Christ lives within us, we can now live out our identity in him. Since Christ now lives in us, we can now live out our identity in him. So if being united to Christ means, for instance, we're forgiven, we're free, we're fruitful, right? All parts of our identity, right? Then Christ living inside of us means I can actually be those things. Right, that's where my source of power comes from. I can live as someone who's forgiven and free and fruitful. I can be the worshiper that God has made me, who serves the King in a worthy manner. I can live like a friend of God and as someone who's being made perfect by him. In a word, if Christ lives in me, then I can have a God-glorifying life. Because my union with Christ transforms everything about me. Jonathan Landry Cruz says, "Our identity in Christ is a fundamental identity that claims every other identity that we could possibly have. Our identity in Christ is the lens through which every other identity becomes accountable." Think about it. How do you typically identify yourself or think of yourself? If you had to describe yourself in one word as you're meeting someone brand new for the first time, what would you typically say? Well, most often we say things like, well, I'm a mom, or I'm the son of the pastor, or I'm a painter, or I'm an engineer, I'm a housewife, or perhaps we say, I'm a Purdue fan, or I'm a history enthusiast, I'm a basketball player. And we'll talk about this more in the next point, but we tend to do this, whether we say it out loud or not, we tend to identify ourselves and think of ourselves most by our jobs, by our families, by our skills, and by our interests. And you see, if Christ lives in us, then all of those other identities are transformed by it. As Cruz says, they're held accountable by it, and they're to be lived out in accordance with it. So if I'm a basketball fan or a basketball player, that's fine, but I need to live that out as someone who is united to Christ. If I'm a mom, if I'm a dad, if I'm a teacher, that's fine, that's good. That can describe a lot of who I am, but those identities are held accountable by who I am in Jesus. Elizabeth Elliot, I think, actually sums it up quite well when she says, "The fact that I am a woman does not make me a different kind of Christian, but the fact that I am a Christian makes me a different kind of woman." Do you see what she's saying there? That applies to every single one of us in so many avenues of life. So our union with Christ determines who we are in Christ. It's the basis of our identity as a Christian. And with that, our union with Christ is what enables us to live out that identity truly and in a way that glorifies God. Because in our union with Christ, Christ is our representative, and Christ lives inside of us by His Spirit. And so then, as we come to our fourth and final point on the outline, we need to embrace this identity. We need to embrace the identity we've been given through our union with Christ. And let's look one more time at Galatians 2:20. "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Look at the words here. I live by faith in the Son of God. That means several things, doesn't it? For instance, as one united to Christ, you are to live by faith in Him for salvation. Right? Always trusting in Him and in His work on the cross. But it means more than that. Right? As those united to Christ, we're always to live by faith in Him by submitting to His providence and by submitting to His commands, trusting that He always knows what is best, day by day, moment by moment. And I would argue here that in addition to those, to live by faith in Him is also to live in light of who you are in Him. Trusting that if He says this is your identity, this really is your identity. In other words, if you were crucified with Christ, and if Christ now lives in you, you need to believe what that means for you. As I've worded it in the point, you need to embrace your Christian identity. And that requires knowing your identity, which is why we're going to spend many, many weeks looking at all of the various aspects of a Christian identity, and we'll learn about them. But this also requires prayerful effort. Right? This is going to require work of all of us if we're going to do this, in other words. Prayerful effort to believe that this is who we truly are, which that's harder to do than we would like to admit. And to actually see ourselves accordingly. Again, all of that is hard to do. Typically, as I said earlier, we first identify ourselves in other ways. Right? We think of ourselves first and foremost by our jobs, by our families, by our interests, our accomplishments, either because we spend most of our time doing those things or because those things are most important to us. But here's the thing. If we're in Christ, none of them are who we really are. They might be important. They are important, most of them. But they are not our identity. They are not our fundamental constitution. They are not our defining truth. They are not what gives us purpose. Our identity is in Christ. And that is how we need to think of ourselves first and foremost, because that is our real identity. Some of you may recall when the Supreme Court legalized gay marriage in 2015, Justice Anthony Kennedy wrote the majority report. And in the majority report, he wrote these, I would say, haunting words. He says, "The Constitution promises liberty to all within its reach, a liberty that includes certain specific rights that allow persons, get this, within a lawful realm to define and express their identity." To define and express their identity. Now that should rock you in your seat if you've not heard that before. That's a stunning statement, is it not? Right? In his mind, what he's saying is, it is your right as a citizen of this country to be whoever you want to be. To define who you are. And so the obvious example in that case is, if you want to be married to a member of the same gender, that is something you can rightfully determine for yourself. Or if you want to be a member of the opposite gender, you can define that for yourself. But sadly, he's not the only one saying this, is he? This is what countless people are believing in our country and in the world today. That identity is something to be discovered in us, and something to be chosen and defined by us. Okay, this is the spirit of our culture. But hear me clearly tonight. That spirit is wrong, evil, and dangerous. That spirit is wrong, evil, and dangerous. Because your identity is never something that you choose. Never. Right? Even as an unbeliever, it's not something you choose. God, your maker, chooses that for you. And that is especially true for us as believers in Christ. We don't pick who we are. We don't pick our fundamental constitution. God picks it and God gives it to us. Right? Rankin Wilburn says, "Your identity is not found deep within yourself," as many would say, "but outside of yourself." Right? Get that, outside of yourself. He goes on, "Your identity is no longer a construct, something you make of your own preferences and choices, accomplishments, and affiliations." And you see, if you're in Christ, why would you really want to have any other identity? Why would you want anything else in life, even other good things in life, to be what defines you? Because for one, God has lovingly given you this identity. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, "But of Him you are in Christ." Not many words, but such a profound truth. But of Him you are in Christ. In other words, your union with Christ is a precious gift that your loving Father has bestowed upon you. It's not something that you've deserved. It's not something that you've even asked for. It's something that God has graciously given. And with that, it is the greatest identity you could ever be given. Paul says in Philippians 3, 8 and 9, "Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found united in Him." It's striking. Paul says, "I gave up everything so that I could be united to Christ. In fact, I think of everything else I have as being worthless." Why? Because nothing at all compares to being in the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, in light of that, embrace this identity. Embrace this identity. Don't try to be somebody else. Right? Don't let other things, even other good things, be what define you and give you purpose or shape how you think of life. But rather, know who you are in Christ and make those your glasses and the lenses through which you view everything, through which you view your daily relationship with God, through which you view your own sense of worth, through which you view your response to sin and struggle, your purpose, even your source of joy. May it all come back to who you are in Jesus Christ. Jonathan Landry Cruz says, Our hope, security, fulfillment, and satisfaction in this life can never come from us. They come from disowning ourselves and finding our all in Jesus Christ. And may we see that to be true more and more as we go through this series. So instead of trying to be someone else, embrace this wonderful, gracious identity that God has given you through your unbreakable union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, I know in my own mind that as I think of not trying to be someone else, I half the time don't even realize that I am trying to be someone else. So we pray first and foremost tonight that you would show us that when we're doing that, when we are seeing life through a viewpoint that might be good and right, but is not this fundamental viewpoint, our identity in Christ. We pray that you would teach us much in this series, that we pray that you'd help us to understand truths that we've known for years and years in a fresh and applicable way. We pray that you'd teach us more and more truths that perhaps we haven't considered before. But Lord, protect us from trying to define our own identity or falling into the trap of other identities. And Lord, help us to see ourselves for who you say we are, and may that be the lens through which we view everything. Help us to do that even tonight. We pray that our prayers would be that we would more and more be able to embrace this unit, this identity. And please give us the grace to do that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.